But I'll tell you, you know who's on time? You know who's like a freaking watch that goes wrong never? It's Darren Collison at a UCLA. You know, down there they teach those Bruins responsibility and to be on time. And damn it if he didn't come through. Joining us right now from Boston, it is Darren Collison. Darren, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie is, I think, two floors above you to the right at the same hotel. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Katie? You downstairs?
Good morning. I'm somewhere. I'm somewhere in the hotel. As long as I got a bed, I'm happy. How are you, Darren?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Darren, one of two things is happening right now, and I'm not trying to blow you up here. One, I don't think is true, that you're talking to us from the bathroom. The other, you're on a speakerphone. I'm getting the telltale echo.
Nah, I'm on my bed right now talking to you guys right now.
You got in last night, from what we understand, not too terribly late, but unfortunately, you got in not tired from playing a game last night. Have you, in your career, high school, college, or NBA, have you gone through anything like this before where a game's gotten canceled?
I think last year we had a game canceled, you know, before. Not when we had showed up physically, but last year I think New York game was canceled and they had to reschedule the game.
That's right, the snow.
That was a snow situation. But you know, it's crazy, Darren. I was talking to some of the executives down on the court, and from everything I understand, you guys told them at shoot around that floor was slippery. Correct?
Yeah. You know what's so crazy is that when I was at shoot around that morning, I thought it was my shoes. The whole time I'm staying loud.
Yeah.
I kept looking at my shoes like, why is my shoes slipping like this? Like, I didn't realize it was a court at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I got to the arena, you know, before, you know, tip off, you know, my teammates were saying that the court was slippery and that, you know, the ice was starting to melt and the water was starting to get on the court. And so I didn't think it was that serious. You know, I felt like, you know, they were gonna just, you know, wipe it down and stuff. So when I got there on the court, it was pretty bad. And I knew it was bad because, you know, they had been doing it for so long, but they just couldn't fix the problem because they just kept coming. So
what point in the day?
It was unfortunate.
I'm sorry, Darren. At what point was your pregame routine screwed up where you're like, okay, like I've made it to this certain point in my pregame deal and it doesn't look like we're making any progress? And then how do you kind of keep yourself warm until you find out that the game's actually canceled?
Well, I think like, you know, one of the things that, you know, me and Ty Lawson, we're based on speed. You know, we need our speed. And he came in the locker room. He said, well, I can't run out there. So I didn't believe him. So when I got there on the court and I started doing my shoot around preparation, I felt the same way. You know, I didn't feel like I can, like, you know, cut and move the way I wanted to. And I'm like, okay, this is not safe to play, you know, not for me or not for anybody else. And you wanted to play because the fans, you know, you never don't see Philly with that type of crowd early on. They were there early. You know, it was a lot of people there. And you had the sense that, you know, they wanted to see a game, you know what I mean? And you felt bad for them. But, you know, I think the players' health has to come first at that point because, you know, if something happens, then, you know, that's it for the entire season off of that one game. So you have to make sure we're there ready to play.
Darren Collison currently in Boston ahead of their game tomorrow versus the Celtics. Pregame 3:00, 4:30 tip-off right here on KHTK. We know you guys wanted to play last night. We also, I think, all agree it was the absolute right decision to protect you guys and the Sixers players first. But I would like to know, you're in the midst of a road trip. You're coming off that loss. You still have games to go. So all of that aside, Is there an advantage? Was there a part of you that went, oh, man, you know what? I wanted to play, but I'm kind of glad we got the night off. We could use the rest and skip ahead. Or was there any positives at all?
Nah, I mean, I don't think there was no positives that night. Because as a competitor, you want to play. And I think, you know, we was just talking in the locker room. Me, personally, I was kind of mad. Like, I wanted to play. And I wanted the fans to see us play, too. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they came out there in the cold. They drove all the way just to see us play. You know, some fans, they drive, you know, hours just to see a game. You know what I mean? And I wanted to play. But, you know, the conditions obviously wasn't right. you know, coming off the loss like we did, we wanted to play, you know, kind of redeem ourselves. But, you know, we could redeem ourselves tomorrow against a very good team in Boston.
Now, Darren, it's interesting to me in the sense that, okay, this is a game that it is what it is. The floor conditions were not good. Game is canceled. That game is going to be made up. Usually they try and do it when you're already out on like a road trip. The next kind of East Coast road trip is the end of January, which is already the longest trip of the season. If the reports that we're hearing right now are true, they're mm-hmm. going to try and make up that game on January 30th, which would turn a 7-game road trip into an 8-game road trip and add a third back-to-back on that trip. From a player perspective, how insane is that to try and shove all of that into one trip, and how difficult would that be?
I'm not an East Coast guy all the time, so I told him, I said, look, we come to Philly one time and that's it. They're gonna have to meet us twice. So, you know, obviously I'm not happy about it, but I mean, there's nothing that, you know, we can do as players, and you know, the NBA is gonna try to do their best to fit the, you know, game in. It sucks, but you know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, we couldn't play a game, had to fit it in, you know what I mean? At some point, no matter when they would have put it in, you know, it would have been difficult for us anyway. So you just got to go out there and play.
Now, I'm curious because I know that ownership and Vlade in the front office side, they're already talking to the league about that just not being fair. But from the player's side, is that something that you guys can go to the union and say, hey, we have an issue with this, can you help us out?
I don't know. I could look into that. You know what I mean? I don't think it would be such a bad idea. You know what I mean? If it really is a problem, you know, and that was like, if that was concrete that we was going to play and the guys wasn't really feeling it, yeah, I think we can. But, you know, very unlikely, you know, things will change, mm-hmm. you know, after that. You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, if they would have played a game in February, March, you know, we would have had an issue with it anyway. So it is what it is.
Well, and I know you guys kind of just got to play the schedule that's in front of you year in, year out. But there's been some momentum gained for the idea of eliminating back-to-backs when you guys go to the bargaining table next for the CBA. What would you think of that idea? And do you think that would kind of help the NBA as a whole?
What, to, like, talk about, like, when we can put the games in stuff?
No, I'm sorry. Just as a whole, eliminating back-to-backs from the schedule.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I think back-to-backs I think, yeah, they have to do something with back-to-backs, me personally, because, you know, you don't get the team's best effort on back-to-backs. You know what I mean? You don't get the player's best effort. You don't get the team's best effort. It becomes more of a mental toughness thing, which is cool, you know what I mean? Because you get to see, like, you know, who can perform under those conditions. But, mm-hmm. you know, you don't get the team's best effort. So when you're playing a team against a back-to-back, everybody knows, okay, they just played a game last night. We got to just run. You know what I mean? And you don't get the team's best effort. The competition is not nearly as fair. But, you know, with so many games in the schedule, you know, I think the NBA is just trying to do the best they can.
Darren Collison joining us on KHDK. Darren, one of the great things about having a player on is we can analyze our butts off, but we're not in the locker room day to day. I want to ask you about Omri Caspi, and I don't want to get into coach making this or that decision. I don't want to put you in that spot. But here's a guy that loves the team. Here's a guy that's frustrated and has been public about it with his minutes. And then here's a guy that on Friday started getting some run and at times has been a spark for this team. You've been in that spot before. We've talked about frustrations coming off the bench. So when you see a teammate of yours like Omri going through that, I imagine you're feeling for the guy.
Yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? I think it's tough for me because, you know, we have such a close relationship. And I know, you know, the impact he can have, you know, on the team, you know what I mean? And last year he had an unbelievable season, and coming into this year, you know, you felt like, you know, he was going to make strides the same way, you know what I mean? And it's tough because, you know, when a new coach comes in, you know what I mean? He has to play the guys that he feels comfortable with. He has to get the rotations that he feels comfortable with. And a lot of times it kind of messes up with the players that were there the previous year. But, you know, Omri is a guy that, you know, you put him on any team, he's going to have an impact, you know what I mean, because he's such a good shooter. He runs the floor really well. And I think he's a guy that, you know, we can use, you know what I mean? And I think once he gets comfortable with us and he's in the rotation now, I think we'll be fine. You know, I think that second unit will be fine with him in that unit.
Yeah, you know, I think the interesting thing, Darren, is that sometimes, you know, a player can have a great season the year before and still be able to make the same impact, but there's changes to the roster every single year. And this roster is loaded at a couple different positions, which obviously affects Omri. But, you know, that's just part of the sport, right? It's part of the change. And you look, if you look ahead to Boston right now, I mean, this is a team that is extremely, extremely good. And they have one new guy on this team that I think has made a major impact and will, and Al Horford. What do you think about this roster as we look ahead to tomorrow's game?
Yeah, well, Boston has always been a team that gave us, you know, issues in the past because of how hard they play. That's a team, you know what I mean? And what I mean by that, it's not just one player that you have to worry about. You know, it's the 1 through 5 in the first unit, and then the second unit off the bench, you got to worry about them too. So, you know, Al Horford is another good addition. You know, he isn't taking away anything from their team. You know, he's a guy that, you know, you could plug right in and he fits in perfectly. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, but I think we match up with them pretty well. You know, I think our bench is playing some pretty good basketball that, you know, we should have a little bit of advantage in that area too.
Darren Collison joining us on KHTK. We're all pretty familiar with the guy you're going to be going up against in Isaiah Thomas. But, you know, just out of curiosity, from your perspective, you know, what's the approach to try to guard a guy like that that you know is, I mean, you know, I hate to, undersized is like a scarlet letter or something like that. But you know what you're going to get with Isaiah, and he's never going to quit. So what's the plan?
Well, I think you just got to, you know, make it difficult and, you know, make them play into a crowd as much as you can. Easier said than done. You know, he's having an unbelievable, you know, season, you know, this year and last year. You know, he's an all-star, so he has that confidence, you know, where every shot that, you know, he shoots, you know, you think is going in. So with teams with an all-star player, you know that, okay, if they get theirs, you just got to make sure you limit everybody else around them. And I think it's not just with him, you know what I mean? Avery Bradley's playing well, Jay Crowder, you know, chips in. And then, like you mentioned, Al Horford, you know what I mean? So if we could limit everybody else and make it harder for them, even when IT's playing well, you know what I mean, we still have a chance to win, you know what I mean? So I think just make sure he plays into a crowd, you know, make it difficult for him, but making sure that we're stopping everybody else at the same time.
Yeah, it says that Isaiah Thomas is 5'9" and you're 6 feet. Whose height is more being truthful there, yours or his?
Definitely me. I can get a little
bit. Darren, true story. Isaiah Thomas is the only player that I've ever interviewed that has asked me to take my shoes off when I interview him.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's all right. Hey, it's okay. I'll do whatever I need to do to make him feel comfortable. That's fine.
That is hilarious.
Here we're. I don't want to also put you in a position where you speak ill of your colleagues, but we have to ask you because we're watching the video clips and we talked about this earlier. I'm guessing you've seen the video of J.R. Smith hugging Jason Terry and giving up the dunk. Have you in your career, and I'm talking here, high school, UCLA, wherever, have you ever been caught doing something you just want to punch yourself?
No. Never have I ever seen that. I want to know if Jason Terry actually planned that.
I could see it. Well, and that's what we were talking about is that, you know, we want to get into what kind of a guy J.R. Smith is, but in every walk of life, and I think in the NBA, you know better than we do, there's just different characters, whether you work at an accounting firm or the NBA. There's just people that walk a different step in life. That doesn't make them bad.
They're special.
They're special.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, anything JR does now, they're going to compile everything that he's done previously, you know, and just say, oh, that's the type of person he is, you know what I mean? But the play was hilarious. I couldn't believe it. I was like, no way. You know what I mean? But like I said, you know, it's J.R. Smith. They're gonna think something of it. You know, they're going to make a big deal out of it, you know what I mean, because it's him. So it's unfortunate.
Oh, okay, Darren, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you to be Hunter right now and be completely
right?
Ask three questions.
It's like
completely
Oprah
honest.
Here.
Okay, I know it's
put you on the
hard
spot.
Hitting. No, if you had J.R. Smith on your team and this happened while you were on the court, what would you say to him? Would you do anything in that moment, or would it be like later? Like, would you even address it at all with J.R. Smith?
If that play happened?
Yes, if you were on that team when that happened.
I think I probably wouldn't say nothing because everybody would just assume that that's just JR. like you just shake your head. You probably make a little joke after the game, but I mean, you know, everybody knows that's JR. Like when I saw the video, I was like, oh, okay, that's JR. JR would do something like that, and then you just move on from it. You know what I mean? So, he knows. You know what I mean? So I probably wouldn't say nothing. You know what I mean about it.
Well, the guy's nickname should be Shaqton. Honestly, here's
oh, it's definitely gonna be on Shaqton. Yeah. Definitely will be on Shaqton the Fool.
All right, we've had a very hard hitting sit down interview with Darren Collison and not putting him on the spot the entire time. So I'll give you an easy one to finish out the interview, Darren, and just something totally random: is a hot dog a sandwich? Yes or no? Simple question.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
It's two pieces of bread with meat in the middle, but this is a giant argument right now.
You know, this is a tough one. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Because a sandwich has actual bread and a hot dog is a bun. So I'm going to say no, because you wouldn't have asked me that question in the first place.
With Derek Collison in Boston. Good luck tomorrow night. Hopefully a very, very dry floor out there, and everybody stays safe, and we come back with a Sacramento Kings victory. We always appreciate your time, Darren. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, take care. It's Derek Collison.